We're going to have an interesting conversation today. Dr. Gordon Chiu, I've known you for a number of years now. We originally met at a BNI, which is interesting. Interesting start to our story. I think the only scientist I've ever met at a BNI, I'd say. That's safe to say. Very, very cool introduction there. But yeah, through the years, we've grown to become friendly here. And also, I love what you've done with your inventions, with your patents that you've established, a really interesting story, interesting person in general, and the tutoring you're doing to help young children. So I love your story. I'll let you explain it. To our listeners and viewers jumping on, my name is Aaron Fragnito, and I'm one of the owners of People's Capital Group. And so we buy apartment buildings in New Jersey here, and we select qualified investors to participate in those buildings and get the benefits of owning real estate without having to do all the heavy lifting behind the scenes that Dr. Gordon Chiu is going to dig into this morning and hopefully not scare us too much, completely out of real estate. So we'll talk about that and how you've solved a lot of your problems on your commercial properties to save money very creatively through your inventions. So I'm excited to hear your story, Dr. Gordon Chiu. Without further ado, I'm going to hand it off to you.
Wow, that's fast. We went right in, right into it. Okay,
My friend. Well, let's back it up. Let's get your story a little bit. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you started? I mean, you have a really interesting story, you know. But hey, these days, my friend, you know, we say we're starting something at 11 a.m. Then we got to get into this at 11 a.m. No, let's shoot what's your story, Doctor.
So let me ask you, how much time do we have?
So we have an hour today. Usually like to wrap up around 11:50 to open up for questions.
All right. Okay. So let me start off by introducing you to a concept. All right. And I'm just going to read the quote to you. Okay. It says, "The dark, uneasy world of family life, where the greatest can fail and the humblest succeed." All right.
Interesting.
Greatest people can fail whenever they're building a family.
Sure.
And the humblest people can succeed. And this is a quote by Randall Jarrell. Mm-hmm. And it says that that's pretty shocking. If you hear that, should you not have a family? Because you'd say, well, wow, I'm a great person. I think I'm a great investor, or I'm a great student. I'm a great musician, right? So it doesn't matter what is great, fill in whatever you want to fill in after the word great.
Sure.
And I'm a great lover, right? So then, you know, I can still fail in the dark, uneasy world of family life, right? Mm-hmm. We're fine. And then you have a family, and then maybe that triggers divorce, right? You wonder about these things, right?
Right.
And then you look at the divorce percentage and you get something like 50%. Mm-hmm. You say, well, you know, it's 50-50. Should I do it? Mm-hmm. Right. And those are not easy statistics, right? Not easy statistics.
Yeah.
In fact, if you go to a casino and you play blackjack, you look at the statistics, the odds are against you.
Really?
Now, it's kind of like divorce rate, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so is it dark and gloomy? All right. Is it dark and gloomy when you read these quotes? So I'm, you know, I do AI and statistics, at Harvard. And so I'm going to just keep going on with the six statistics. All right. So,
sure. So
an entrepreneur, in order to have an entrepreneurial personality, like not get a job and want to start something new, it's only 4% of the population. Mm-hmm. Right, for an entrepreneurial personality, all right? Sure.
At People's Capital Group, we help you invest in real estate. Build your wealth by owning professionally managed apartment buildings in the Northern New Jersey market. We want to show you how owning real estate is attainable, even for the busy professionals that don't have the time or experience investing in real estate. Now, we only work with select people who are serious about building wealth. So find out if you qualify at peoplescapitalgroup.com.
We're getting to real estate, but I just want to keep adding on some statistics. For example,
keep it going. Yeah.
Type in like Warren Buffett, you know, that guy is an investor, right?
Girl,
and
sure.
Read his view about real estate. And you can find a lot of videos out there where he doesn't think real estate is a very good investment. Mm-hmm. Right. He thinks that the stock market is much better.
Sure.
All right. So, and you look at the size of the stock market, it's much bigger than the real estate market. So maybe there you get more opportunities. And of course, we all know who he is. Right. So, and you can listen to those videos, which I won't go into today. And then you look at, all right, well, what is the percentage of real estate investors, right? If you type in percentage of investors in real estate that succeed, you find out that the first thing that gets published out there, and it varies, the range varies, but it's 95% failure rate.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So, which means that if you consider yourself succeeding, and if I consider myself succeeding, we you know, out of 100 people, we're the two. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, whoever's listening to this out there, you know, just think about, do you consider yourself successful? And the first year of success may not be the second year that succeeds. Right. So, over time, right, you know, what does that turn out to be? Right.
Sure.
And the failure rate is pretty high, you know, over time, you know, very few people succeed. It's almost like if you had to guess on a test question, right. Mm-hmm. And let's say there were four choices. So you have 25% chance of guessing it right. But what if you had to do two in a row? Okay.
Right.
So that's 25% times 25%, mm-hmm. which is now only 6.25%.
Yeah.
And what if you had to guess on the next test question, right? So mm-hmm. that now you're down to 1.5%.
Right.
So now let's do four in a row, okay? So that's 0.25, right? Or 1/4 to the fourth power, basically you're multiplying. So that's 4 to the fourth power, right? 1 in 64 chances, right? So that's less than 1% now, right? Mm-hmm. Less than 1%. In fact, it's 0.3, 1/3%, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you look at those statistics and say, That's complicated, right? You know, it's very, very complicated because mm-hmm. how do you control the odds? Mm-hmm. Right? And that's what we're going to talk about today, right?
Yeah.
You know, how do you control the odds? How do you do it?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
That's why I love speaking with you, Dr. Gordon Chu, because you really are an analytical person. You're a scientist, you're, you know, doctor. So your mind works differently than mine. You know, give me a microphone, put me in front of the crowd. That's where I come alive and do my best work. And, you know, I'm a people person, marketing, sales, type B. I'd say, you know, more of a type A. So we've always enjoyed each other's company in that sense, because not only are you very smart, but I love the way your mind works. And I like taking a little bit of your thought process and trying to implement it into my business and my thought process, which is important. But I've actually outsourced the analytical type A part of my business to my business partner, who is analytical and type A and organized and more of a operations type of individual, which every good entrepreneur needs, is a, you know, a kind of a hard ass operations guy to make sure the bottom line is being achieved. Those contractors are showing up, the leasing agents, the management company, all the moving pieces, all of our service providers aren't taking advantage of us, or, you know, whatever the situation is, right? So,
by the way, a slight math correction, right? Now that you spoke, it's always good when you speak, because then it gives my brain a little time to process. 1/4 is 25%. 2 of those, right, you know, would be 1/16. 3 of those is 1/64. So that's right. Still over 1%, 1.5%. But, you know, 4 of those, right? We did 4 combinations, and that means it's out to 1 out of 256, right? Mm-hmm. 4 to the 4th power is 256. So 1 in 256 is 1/3 of 1%. So, wow. But that's guessing. Many people run into a situation where they run into things and they have to make a guess, an educated guess, right?
Sure.
Now, and usually the educated guess doesn't even give you 25% chance, right? You know, guess, I'm guessing there's all kinds of combinations. So, mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned your partner there, right? So, you know, you have to pay your partner. Otherwise your partner might leave, right? So there's a cost to partnership.
Sure.
There is a cost, right? So it doesn't come for free, mm-hmm. But there's a cost to going it alone, which a lot of people don't think about.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
The cost of going it alone is that 95% of people mm-hmm. fail, right? Yeah. According to the statistic. And I welcome you to, you know, to look at these things. And I'm going to show you here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that it's important to look at this. You know, yeah. Where you go into the internet, and I won't keep doing this, but I want to show you that where this came from, right? All I did was type in percentage of investors in real estate succeed, and it says 95% failure rate.
Wow.
Lease property management, right? So this is someone sticking their neck out and publishing it, and there's many, many other numbers, But, you know, and this might be a high number but it's not a low. It's not like, all right, this is not unusual. Someone feels this way, right?
Yeah. So yeah. Look at
this. And then let's look at this one. Percentage of realtors that succeed.
Wow.
So that's an agent, right? Oh, yeah. Right. All you got to do is make money from your property. And it says 87% of real estate agents fail.
Burnout, baby. That's it. That's what happened to me. I became a real estate agent in 2010. I worked 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
I had no wife and child at that time. There's no way I could do that now. I have a wife and a child. I have to be home on the weekends. I have to be home a few weekdays in the evening at least.
You don't have to. I mean, I guess
I don't want to be a deadbeat dad, you know? Oh, I mean, we started this webinar about the importance of family, right? And the whole point of building our wealth and building a successful business is so we don't become deadbeat dads and we become good parents and raise good children that make this world a better place and understand and have values and treat society in the right way, right? The biggest reflection we'll have at the end of our lives isn't not so much our wealth. That's going to be nice. Maybe you build a library, you know, you donate to World Vision. That's all great and dandy, but it's about your children too, right? What are your children? And I've met your children, Dr. Gordon Chu. They're smart. They're well-behaved. They're very young. We got a lot of room to go there. But you know, I could tell you're a good father and you're a family man and we share those values. No, sir. I cannot 7 days a week. Count me out. I need a work-life balance and I will not be a deadbeat dad.
Wow. So you see here, it says the dark, uneasy world of family life where the greatest can fail and the humble succeed. Like, unless I show you this, you know, I could be making all the stuff up. So I want the viewer to have an ability to look at this, the dark, uneasy world of family life. So you mentioned my kids are great kids when you saw them. are they still great kids now, right? And that's where the challenge becomes is everybody had great kids at one point, right? But then if you don't spend time, or if they spend time with someone else, right, then that turns them instantly into someone who doesn't listen to you. You might not have that same feeling next Christmas, right? So now what about if we translate that into real estate? Okay. In real estate, you know, now that we understand, we have some definitions, it's hard to make money in real estate and it's hard to make a living in being a real estate agent.
Yeah, sure.
Both are, so if the percentages are so high, worse than blackjack now, right? So as long as it's worse than blackjack, we all know what blackjack is. You don't understand, go try a blackjack game. Don't have to go to the casino, just buy some cards and just see your chances. And you say, wow, do you want to go through the ups and downs of this? And what are the ups and downs and how can I manage? So let me talk about a little bit about the real estate. And when you buy something, there's something called NOI, net operating income, right? Uh-huh. And that net operating income is a number that you see on the sell sheet. Uh-huh. And then if they like to do it based on, you know, percentage, right, of what your money is paying down. And if you borrow some money, you can then do cash on cash return, sure, right? You can calculate all those things.
Yeah.
But you could have a nice percentage with a number that really doesn't put enough food on your table.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you could have enough food on your table, but a terrible percentage. It could go either way, right? You know, often it's like a fishing excursion. People say, oh yeah, I did well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Except that, you know, when you really get down to it, you know, using the statistics, it's like looking at the census reports, right? And you know that a lot of people don't have enough money out there, right? Now, you know how many people, if they got hit with a $600 bill, wow, how many people across America, you know, over 300 million people are in America, right, United States, how many people could afford to pay for that? And the answer comes out to be over 62% of Americans cannot afford to do that.
Wow. $600. Really? Mm-hmm. That's crazy. That's sad.
Yeah, you live in New Jersey, but that's a major problem. So another statistic is, and this is a statistic published by the American Automobile Association, and how they ran into that was if they hit like a pothole or they do something like that, you know, you drive a clunker and it could run into $600, you know, pop the tires, you know, affect the shaft. But if you drive a Tesla, That's an interesting number, or a Mercedes SLS, a CLS or something like that, right? What's the price of that? It's over $2,000. There's a whole YouTube on people damaging their cars in potholes, $2,600. Right. Now, okay, so potholes is an information, family life is another information, taking time. And then the question is, well, then how do I succeed in real estate? Is it about spending more time? Mm-hmm. And if spending time was the only, now clearly time is important, but if you spend time in your school, right? We all went to school before. If we spend time, does that mean we'll all get A's in their class?
No.
Right? So we know that number, right? Yeah. I'm now talking about basic things, but a number we don't know is this. If I see you doing homework at home, I'm going to lower your grade by one whole grade. Right now, whole grade meaning like we're going to increase change it. So we're plus to A to A minus to B plus. So we'll count those as whole grades.
Okay. Even though,
you know, so we don't want to be, well, I mean, terrible to people. We'll just have to lower you by a notch. All right.
Okay. Okay.
So you're not allowed to do homework at home. All right. Okay. And also, if you're wearing glasses, I need you to take off your glasses.
Mm. Right.
So that, what I want to do is I want to filter out and find only the audio learners that are able to learn in class through their listening skills. Because now, right. now, if you don't have nearsightedness, you do get the chance to watch the board too, right? And if the answer came out, no homework at home, right? Is that you find out that the individuals that also were able to see, right? They didn't have nearsighted vision and they did better, then you'd say, well, of course, that's not fair. They had the visual compensation, right? Yeah. But if the result came back is that only the audio learners, the ones who had nearsightedness, they actually had higher scores, including the ones that don't do homework at home, right?
Okay.
Now, what have you found? You selected for individuals that are pure audio learners, and you've learned an additional thing is that the visual may be a distraction. So statistics and numbers tell us a lot of things about before we go into a situation.
Yeah.
But most people, when they go into situations, they get so bogged down by the situation that they stop learning altogether. They stop looking at things. They don't want to see it. It's like looking at a stock portfolio that's not doing well. You don't want to look at it. Show it to me later, right?
Sure.
So what happens when you buy a property? And here's one really good one. If you buy a property that has vacancies, you'd say, well, that's upside.
Mm-hmm.
Person selling it to you would say, see the upside? You know, but the flip side of looking at it, right? Remember, there's many ways to look at it, is that if the seller couldn't rent it for 10 years, let's say, right?
Okay.
Say it's a seller for 10 years. 10 years. That's 40 quarters. Every quarter, they got a chance to do that.
Right.
They couldn't get it rented.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you? Why are you going to get it rented, right?
Huh?
Right. Well, what do you have? What special powers do you have? Now, we all have special powers, different ones. Just take a 16 personality test, and you'll find out you have a different personality from the person next to you.
Yeah, sure.
An even better one would be asking someone, what are your 10 favorite songs?
Okay.
And then you find out that the 10 they give you might not be in the same order as someone else who gives you their 10.
Yeah, sure.
I do research. So I look at all kinds of things. And then if you ask them, why are they your favorite 10? And then you look at that, you'll find out that now you found even greater differences. It's better to ask for that and their interpretations, right?
Mm-hmm.
Than to ask them, what's your favorite ice cream? Because the chance of you finding overlap is, you know, vanilla, strawberry, chocolate. If you only gave them three choices, you know, you're probably going to find similarities.
Right.
But even with similarities, doesn't mean you have the same goals, doesn't mean you have the same abilities. But today, I'm going to tell you a story about how I almost wiped everything out for myself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, everything.
Gosh. Yeah. You
know, I was going to go into the poorhouse.
Right? Oh my gosh.
Most of my life, right? We've done an interview before, so people know that I'm a scientist. You know, you read up on things and you know about my science and my patent. So I don't have to go into all that. I'm going to tell you that one is I didn't have any experience being a dad by the time I had my child.
Right.
Child. Right. So that's a little interesting, right? In the sense that that's true for everybody, right? Okay. And then you have your next child. You didn't have experience having two children. Before you had two children, right? So you get scared about that. you know, if you had time, if you start really thinking at looking at statistics, you could scare yourself in a lot of stuff, right?
Sure.
And the problem is we now know a lot of things about each other when we go into dating websites and you can look up all these statistics, right?
Right.
It doesn't necessarily mean that you get more love.
Right.
Right. Knowing more about the person does not necessarily mean you love each other.
Sure.
You will love each other, right?
You might love each other less. Sometimes you love each other more in the beginning of a relationship, and then you really start to live together as two human beings. And that's, don't ask me how I know that one.
Right, right. So here's something about the NOI. We're talking about the NOI, net operating income and percentage of return and cash flow and all that. So it turns out that if you borrowed money, you could get a higher cash on cash return.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. So does that make sense though?
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. All about leverage, my friend. That's how real estate's done.
Well, what about if the interest rate that you're borrowing is higher than the production rate of your real estate?
Interest rate higher than a cap rate. Is that what you're implying?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know who's listening, so I don't want to abuse abusive terms like cap rates, right? It's almost like if I use the word prescient and then suddenly some people have to look that up, right? I want to boil it down. So sure. you put down a piece of money and then the bank gives you a piece of money that's larger than your piece, right? So right. that you're using money that you don't have to grow, but that only works.
Yeah.
Started off by saying it works and you agreed. But then I gave you a scenario where it doesn't work, where the interest rate is higher than the production rate, of how you add up all your rent, right? And I call that a production rate because that's actually your only income. Like you can't make more income from that real estate. But if you live there, right? If you live in a piece of real estate called residential real estate and you're a homeowner, you usually don't make any money from where you're living.
Yeah.
Except that depends on how you account for it. If you actually account you going to work every day, then you actually can you are making a return because you have to live somewhere, right? In order to be able to go to work and look proper, right? And as opposed to like a total mess, right? You live in the street, doesn't cost you anything, or in the forest, right? But it could cost you your life, you know, a bear comes into you and you're done. So there is a cost. Are we accounting for the cost, right? Are we accounting for that cost? So yesterday, that was March 22nd of 2023, in case, we look back at this. And you know that some banks have blown up, right? Some banks have blown up. There's one called Credit Suisse in Europe, and there's one called Silicon Valley Bank, right, in California. And there's a few others.
Credit Suisse got bought out. Didn't they get saved by JP Morgan, was it?
Not JP Morgan. But that's interesting. Credit Suisse got saved by UBS, right?
UBS, that's right.
Yeah. But the closing price on the Friday of last week when Credit Suisse closed before they announced they were, how this whole thing was going to shake down, they closed at an $8 billion market cap and everything got truncated all the way down, $8 billion market cap. And Credit Suisse at the beginning of Sunday morning, right? Sunday morning, they said 2 days later into this whole thing, they said that we are going to buy them for above $1 billion plus. All right. So that's 1/8 of the truncated value. Eventually it settles and it goes to 2 billion plus and then 3 billion plus, and it finally settles down at $4 billion plus done. But that's half of after post crash. So they bought it for about a dollar, right? Per share. Okay. Using shares of UBS, UBS instead of cash.
Right.
And then they needed another $7 billion concession. So you start wondering, what was wrong with that deal? Right. So was there something wrong? Right. Then you got Silicon Valley Bank and you got other things, but which if you look at the regional banking industry, the index KRE still hasn't recovered yet. So you start looking at, is there something wrong or is there a deal? Is there a deal or there's something wrong? And you do that all the time in real estate, right? Why is the seller selling?
Yes.
Right? Why are they selling?
Absolutely. Now, I guess we could break into this situation now with the banks going on. I want to touch on a few topics. So you just went over a lot of things and a lot of them I do want to counter a little briefly. So First of all, let's touch on cap rates and interest rates for a second. Now, this is a landlord webinar, so I'm assuming most of the people on this webinar have some experience investing in real estate or owning properties or looking into owning properties. So hopefully they understand what a cap rate is, a capitalization rate, which is your net operating income divided into your purchase price, essentially, right? You could also do it with your entire investment amount, you know, purchase plus renovations, but generally it's NOI divided into purchase price. So the idea is you don't want to buy a property that has a lower capitalization rate than the cost of your mortgage, your interest rate, right?
So wait. So that's really interesting, right? So you just said something. You don't want to do that, right?
Don't want to, but hang on, let me just finish for a second. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So what we do is we recognize properties. Yeah, you might be a 5 cap right now, but you know, we're gonna put a little lipstick on you. We're gonna dress you up, we're gonna give you a makeover, renovate units as tenants move out, renegotiate leases with existing tenants and make improvements to those units, work out cash for keys with very, very low paying tenants or evict non-cooperating tenants, figure out more ways to make income on the property, parking, storage, laundry, figure out ways to cut our costs. Maybe their brother's on payroll for $60,000 a year, not doing anything, right? So there's ways to cut costs on the building as well. So we do all these different things, make it a nicer place to live, make it a cleaner, more family-friendly place to live, get rid of the bad apples, and therefore people are willing to pay more for rent and also physically renovate the units and give it the whistles and bells that tenants are looking for. So that's what we do. So we turn a zero into a hero and we reposition apartment buildings. We improve the cap rate. So yes, you know, we can buy a 5 cap at a 6% interest rate, perhaps as we just did, but we know that cap rate is very low. We know the rents are 35% below market value. And we know that even if rent stops growing and we're in a high demand market there, right in Bayonne, New Jersey, 3 blocks of the water, 10-minute walk to a light rail station, a nice high demand location in a good city with, you know, very close to Manhattan. And so that also is important. High demand markets that hold their value through recession. The ability to increase rent, increase value of the property. So you're not just buying a $20 bill and keeping it as a $20 bill. You know, I may pay $20 for a $20 bill, but I know if I invest $4 in it, it could become a $30 bill, you know, over 3 years or so. So I see the value add. So you want to look at buildings and dig into them and say, what's the value add in this building? What can I change to improve the revenue of it, increase the value? And that's how you make money in real estate. You don't just buy and wait and hope the market goes up. You need to take concrete action to improve your assets, improve your rent roll. But that takes time and resources and management companies and money. So you're absolutely right.
A lower return for the safety, right? Potentially of whoever you're betting on. Now, remember, we're going back to this number wasn't just discovered by, you know, this number is inclusive of everybody, right? So 95% failure rate for the rental investor. Okay. So where do you get 95%, right? You get 95% by surveying, by looking at the statistics and things like that, right? Now that everyone knows about ChatGPT, right? These numbers that you're talking about, and knowing real estate is well studied. It's one of the most well studied things out there. And unlike, like, you know, dating relationships where, you know, it's really up to the person to write down what they're like, you could get comparables, right? Just like you could find out about the rental and all, but then there's also reasons like, you know, that, like, I would love the sun to come up at 11 PM tonight. And I'm going to go and talk to some people who tell me that they have special magical abilities. And now I'm going to test out those magical abilities against whether or not at 11 p.m. Eastern time, if they can get the sun to come up. Now I've run into some people who have, you know, if you don't corner the question right, they have shown me their ability to get the sun to come up at 11 p.m. at night.
Wow.
Yeah. I've met about 10 of them. Right. Okay. And so, I'll tell you, usually what they do is they bring me onto an airplane and we go flying, and it's still 11 p.m. You set your clock, and then as they're flying over, the sun does come up because they reach a different time zone. So see, it's not so magical, right? So there's ways, like Aaron was describing, ways to do things, but then the vast majority of people will say, no, I can't do that. So then there are ways, right? And it's not magic, right? There's actually science behind it. There's a methodology that he's applied that makes it work, squeezing more money out of the situation. Now, does it always work in your favor though, right? And how do you know all these things when you also describe that, you know, real estate, when you were in real estate doing, being a broker of real estate, that it was hard. Now, you also looked at the, you know, the cap rate, but I want to go back to the NOI. So say the cap rate was a good cap rate and it was positive after the borrowing and you had cash flow, but the NOI was so small.
Yeah.
Like, you know, an NOI of $50,000 is not small actually, mm-hmm. but it's just $50,000 and you can't, you got to go back to work. You have to be working, right? Mm-hmm. But you say, you know what? No, I like this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to live off of the $50,000.
Sure.
And I'll do a little part-time other things, but now you can't focus on your real estate and the real estate return is not compounding.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if you use any of it and it's not compounding, mm-hmm. what happens if you have a roof leak or what happens if you have something go on? You know, what happens is that you look at the tenant, right? And mm-hmm. you say, that's my money. Mm-hmm. That's my money.
Yeah.
So, you know, that dishwasher that broke, mm-hmm. why is it not breaking in my house? Mm-hmm. You get pretty upset. You're like mentally not happy with these things. And it's hard for you to fix those things. So what you're going to do, a lot of people do, is that they go into reading these books about slumlording. And how when you don't fix them, you actually save money. And you know, that is 100% correct. When you don't fix it, you do save money short term.
Yeah.
Long term, right? Long term, things happen, yeah. right? Things happen. The tenant gets upset and they start doing something. They yeah. break more things to get your attention. Look, right. it's not just the dishwasher. It's now the toilet. The lights aren't working.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's something going on with the spirits now. So, so right. So they, all kinds of things could happen. And sometimes there's something called organized rental crime.
Okay.
Organized rental crime, where they work together to destroy the landlord.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
Why you can't buy in markets like that and properties like that and let the, you know, inmates run the asylum.
Hmm. Ah, well, okay. So now we talk about evicting them, finding who's the bad apple.
Not that my tenants are inmates.
You just called them inmates. Now,
right. Okay. I don't think my tenants watch my webinars.
good. Right. Don't let the tenants sure watch the webinars. It's like but this is now 2023. So everyone has access. Right. So you want to look at, all right. Maybe we don't post this publicly, right? So,
but I'm too late, my friend.
Right. But I'm telling you, right, that it's not like it's all of them are bad or they come bad. They can turn bad. You ever heard of gremlins, right? They can turn into gremlins if do certain things, right?
Well, it's everybody, like any relationship. Yeah, I mean, yeah. You give them an inch, they take a mile. You know, I mean, someone you love can do that too. You know, it doesn't
right.
mean they're a bad
It happens
person.
When someone you love does that, right? What do you do?
You argue with them. Yeah.
Really? Okay. So some people have killed the other person, right?
Oh gosh.
Right.
Haven't gotten quite there, Dr. Gordon Chu, luckily.
Right. But that's the statistic, right? So we're looking at data, right? Remember, we're looking at data and using the data to determine whether or not it's a good investment or should I go into real estate? And then when you see failure rates of 95%, right? Mm-hmm. Then you suddenly start thinking like, I better like find a way to like, how do I be one of the 5 out of 100 and not be the 95 out of 100, right? What mm-hmm. is going on? So one of the things is, can I bring you to the idea that when you have it fully rented, mm-hmm. unless you get rid of the tenant, right? Mm-hmm. You really can't raise the rent.
Well, you can if it's allowed by rent control and the market's increased.
You're adding provisions, though. It's like the person who brought me on the airplane and did that. And then that next time I'm changing the rules. So I said, you can't bring me on the airplane. I put on these things. In fact, instead of adding all those things, I want you to use your magic right here, right now. We're sitting in a restaurant, make the sun come up. Here's $1,000. You make the sun come up at 11 o'clock and we're in the diner, PM at night. Make the sun come up. Here's $1,000, right?
Not going to happen.
Really, not going to happen, huh?
No.
So you're right. Once I put the constraint on there, so the constraint is that I would, so if I used it in my setting, right? Not your setting, but I'm going to use it in my setting. Right. I was in commercial real estate. Mm-hmm. I want the NOI to be fairly sizable. So I don't want 50,000. I want over 100,000, maybe 200,000. Now, what kind of property in commercial do I need to buy that's going to give me a $200,000 NOI, right?
Okay. Big one.
Yeah. It's going to be bigger than a small one, right? So, so if you got $200,000 NOI, and we could say, you know, given a cap rate of, let's say 8%, right? Now it's going to be $2.5 million, right? Okay. Now, if I'm greedier, right? If I'm greedier, remember, that's actually not right because, you know, your gross is higher, right? That'll be based off of, you know, things like that. But, you know, the, if, but the point of it is,
well, that valuation was correct. If you're NOI,
You know, NOI divided by 8%. So let's say, say I say like, you know, is two, now will $200,000 be enough, right? Of NOI income? Is that enough?
Well, NOI is before debt service, right? Yeah. So remember, you got to pay your mortgage. And chances are, if you have a $2 million building, you said, and your mortgage is probably $1.5 million. What's that at? $12,000 a month mortgage payment, something like that, you know?
$12,000 a month. How many people in the United States are making $12,000 a month, right? Right? That's times 12 months, right? That's 144,000, right? Okay. So you start thinking, but you got to eat too. So you can't be like, you can't be using all of it for your, you know, all your job money for that, right? So, so it, the numbers, all I'm trying to say to you is the numbers are not the numbers exactly. Like what Aaron pointed out is that there's a cost, and I'm looking at the time. So we, you know, this is like getting scary in the sense that there's costs involved. There's just costs. And, but there's the cost of the NOI being too small that it just becomes a side hobby. And how painful is that cost of the real estate being a side hobby? Well, you just won't take it very seriously. In fact, if you invest in the stock market and it's a side hobby and you lose money, well, that's how you don't look at it, right? That's how you say, like, you know what? I'll leave it alone. It doesn't really make a difference. I got to work hard. Well, maybe one day when I sell it, it'll be worth more. And you wait for that market. So you wait 15 years, 20 years, right? You know, wait for those cycles. Sometimes you miss a cycle. And then you say, like, no, I shouldn't sell it. And then so you have to go through two cycles of pain before you say, no, I'm definitely selling it, right? So, that's, by the way, average statistics show that a lot of people end up doing that. Right. They and so if I turned it around on you, if you did it that way, how much real estate could you transact in a lifetime if you actually only transact after two down cycles and two up cycles? Right. How many pieces of real estate would you transact? So there's two ways. Right. So, you know, in a lifetime. Right. In a lifetime. Right. So you might, you know, what is a lifetime anyway? It's not from the day you're born to the day you die.
Sure.
That's actually not a lifetime because. That's an incorrect measurement of an active lifetime.
Right.
Or you're coherent too. So if you wait until you're 70, well, how do you know you didn't get Alzheimer's, right? So so within the reasonable lifetime where you have enough money to do something, right? Maybe around 35, 40, right? You know, 35 is really pushing it, but 40. And then while you're coherent, you could be 60. All right. So between 40 and 60 is a really good number. Generally, and there's some outliers, but you could draw a bell curve of that. Are the good years? And how long is the real estate cycle?
Oh, wow. I mean, these days, it's hard to say. Most people, most economists will say 8 to 10 years now, you know, is the cycle. But it's like, I don't know, was the pandemic a real estate cycle, right? The 2 months that the real estate market froze in March and April of 2020, was that the end of a cycle? And then a new cycle started and you know, July of 2020. I mean, you could look at a chart and say maybe, but really not. I mean, prices dropped for a minute, but then they skyrocketed for the next 2 years. And then now what's going to happen, right? We see prices kind of rather stagnant, dropping a little bit, banks starting to close. So yeah, we do expect an actual buyer's market to take place, although I really haven't seen it yet. And that's why we're being very picky, very patient right now, and just kind of sitting back a little bit and, you know, building our investor list, putting out good content, just having fun events, you know, just building our brand.
Right? You know, talking about how real estate could really blow up. So let me show you my pain point of how I almost blew up my whole life. Right. So here we go. Ready for this? Okay. So, this is just giving you knowledge on how much damage can one pothole cause. 3 million drivers experience potholes related to vehicle damage every year. That's 3 billion in the country on vehicle damage.
Wow.
If it happens on your property, they could sue you.
Yeah.
All right. They could sue your tenants and they sue you. That's why you have to buy insurance. Now, most people don't calculate that into against their income, right? They just say, in fact, the sell sheet doesn't include that. They just says, here's your NOI. Do what you want to do with it, right? Okay, now if they get injury, you get sued more, and then immediate risk to every nearby vehicle, cyclist, and pedestrian. What if they tried to swerve around a pothole and knock someone off, right? Mm-hmm. And they died on your property.
Right.
Okay. So that's a problem. Okay. Now the other thing is here. How much damage can one pothole cause? Wheel alignment, tire replacement, roadside service, towing, out-of-pocket expense, loss of pay, loss of time, energy, productivity. But you know what's not on this list? Is the pothole doesn't tell the customer, you know, I'm fixed now. Mm-hmm. So what'll happen is the customer says, you know what, I'm just not going to shop there. And they go to your tenant's competitor at another place and they shop. And imagine if that competitor was online shopping. Mm-hmm. You know, that's even easier. Let someone else's tires worry about that. I'll just buy online. So if that happens, your tenants might not be making the rent money and they might, you know, they might go under or they might move, right? So you're, you know,
talking about having potholes in your parking lot of your apartment building and your complexes you own, right?
Yeah, it could be potholes everywhere. So by the way, how many potholes occur in the United States alone? It's 55 million every year, but that doesn't help you. If you divide 55 million with 365, that is better. It gives you a clear picture when you look at a daily number. That's 150,000 potholes a day.
Right.
Yeah. So now if we go in here is, you know, Los Angeles, let's just focus on one city, paid over 19 million for cyclist injuries in just 2017. 19% of LA's bikes and lanes and routes are graded by the city to be a D or an F.
Wow.
By CBS Broadcasting. So then here is the, you know, swerving of another driver swerves to avoid the pothole, loss of collision, right? Mm-hmm. Loss of control collision, chain reaction, personal injuries, possible fatalities, lawsuits, right? We know that. You can see the picture is not good, right? Now, here's that 55 million potholes. Now, what's the reason that they're potholes? Well, by the way, asphalt is weak. Repairs are temporary. Repetitive potholes are expensive, taxpayer dollars, hopefully, you know, but if you own commercial or you own real estate, that's not taxpayer dollars, your money, right? Okay, mm-hmm. Now concrete, let's turn it to concrete, costs twice as much and doesn't hold up in harsh winters, right? So now you know, the never-ending pothole problem. In fact, the name pothole began,
right?
This is the Roman times. Chariots used to fall in there and people could collect the clay inside to make pots. That's why they call them potholes. Now, this is the pothole cities in the United States. Look at all these places, right? Philly, New York. These are great places to have real estate. Nashville, Tennessee. A lot of people, you know, these are their top ones.
New Jersey's on there. Is that just New Jersey in general?
New Jersey is on there, but you know, it doesn't make the top. Like Massachusetts is, like every year it changes, right? And then you got individual towns. But my point to highlight these potholes is I bought a place that had no potholes. Right. I didn't know about the problem of potholes like I do now, but I bought a place where before we closed the transaction, I made sure it was like the lines were striped, no potholes. And then within three months, I had a bunch of potholes show up.
Wow.
So I called the seller and I called the seller's attorney. And I also called other people in real estate who own similar things. And they told me that that's normal. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's normal. Mm. But, you know, I mean, how did you fix those potholes? It looks so good, right? Did you put like a really thin layer of asphalt? Apparently, a thin layer of asphalt doesn't hold up as much as like if you added 7 extra inches of asphalt. But I didn't ask for that. I didn't know about potholes, right? If you add an extra 7 inches of asphalt before you buy a property, it will hold up much better. However, that will cost $96,000 per mile.
Okay.
Yeah, and I want to teach you guys this. So, I'm just gonna put this link in here. Okay. Mm-hmm. About you can solve your pothole problem according to this article by adding an extra 7 inches of asphalt. It will increase its durability. here we go. I'm just going to put it inside the chat box here. Okay.
Okay. All right.
So anybody can now read that article from Discover Magazine. Engineers are suggesting this, that we do this across the United States because of all the climate change that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not, but it would cost, and they give you the number, 96,000 every mile. So that's here bad. I am. Boxed into, oh, good. You thank you for posting it. So now I'm here facing this issue of, now I'm sharing with you all this knowledge. Like, how did you get this knowledge? Mm-hmm. You know, there's no school for this, right? I had a personal pain point. The place I bought after 3 months, within 3 months, had multiple potholes. And then when I asked around to the people who fixed the potholes, they said, yeah, I've been on your property fixing it. You know, you can expect roughly 18 to 21 potholes every quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, smokes. 18 to 21 potholes every quarter. That means that I'll have, like, you know, if I use the average number of 20, right, times four, I have 80 potholes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you know what you should do? And I, you know, I talked to some other people. They said, well, leave them alone. Eventually, it'll just, like, you know, there won't be more that form.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, possibly, but if I dug that hole in my life, right, and I didn't fix them, right, now what would happen? Now eventually,
your building value, your tenants are going to get flat tires and not like you and move out of your property, and people parking to come visit your storefronts are going to get all banged up and sue you or have problems there. People are going to fall. And so, what was your solution to this complete money suck here?
Well, first of all, like I said, the sell sheet did not differentiate the difference between, like, you know, having a triple net, you know, Dunkin' Donuts, right, versus having a grocery store.
Yeah.
Right? Grocery store has this big monster truck that comes in every day, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, and you're not alone. It comes right through the city. So look at all those roads. Where do you think this stuff comes from? Bang, 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 right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, I learned a big lesson there. I was ready to be wiped out now because I put $1 million down. I borrowed $3 million, right? So I just give you the number, you know, and this was going to blow up because I just can't afford it. Even though the tenants pay a portion of it, right? They got caps on these things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I was backed into a corner, into a corner.
Yeah.
And there was nothing I could do, really. Other than talk about it and think about it and then talk about it some more until I had nobody else to talk to. Right.
No one wants to hear about your potholes, huh?
Well, you know, look, they said you're not alone. Usually, by the way, if you have a problem ever, like about that family life, right? I really want to highlight, if you take that family life quote, right, and you substitute a word change in here. Okay. So here's that quote again: the dark, uneasy world of family life, change family life to real estate life, right? The dark, uneasy world of real estate life, where the greatest can fail and the humblest succeed. Oh my gosh, right? It wouldn't be, you know, it's not just so far-fetched, right? So what happens with this thing is I'm a scientist, like you described me. Mm-hmm. So I'm starting to think, all right, well, I worked on this 23rd century material. Let me try to put that into fixing the potholes 5 years ago in 2018, and those potholes never returned. Never return. Had I wasn't interested in doing anything with it. All I was interested in saving myself was can I, and then my tenants, because I have a fiduciary responsibility to my tenants, to the people who shop there. Obviously it's somewhat self-preservation, but at the same time, you got the asset, right? The problem with real estate versus stock market is stock market, you lose money, you know, lose 10%, just sell the thing. In real estate, if you lose 10% or you think you're losing or you think you have problems, it's not so easy to transact and sell it. You're also on the hook for a 5-4-3-2-1 loan, right? Because they're, you know, you got to pay a penalty. They don't give you the loan for you to flip them, right? So there's all kinds of constraints. So what I want to use is the word constraint, but putting that pothole with a different material, change the outcome, change that. It was like almost like working the magic, right? Uh-huh. And I discovered something, which, by the way, placed in the in the region finals at Harvard only 2 weeks ago. Uh-huh. Because while at Harvard looking at AI, someone said to me, "This looks like a really cool idea." right? A really good thing. I said, I didn't think of it as a cool idea. I wasn't thinking anything. I was thinking like, if I don't solve this problem, I'm going under.
Right.
Right. I'm going under.
Well, that's why a lot of people succeed in life because they have to, you know, I mean, talk. I always say to my wife, like, we want to make sure, you know, we want to raise children that have that fire under them a little bit. You know, if you ever meet a trust fund kid or something like that, someone that doesn't, you know, have that that fire under them, that chip on their shoulder, you want to have that motivation. You have to be able to, you know, get out of bed and solve problems. But the reason people come up with inventions like you did, so you invented a product that could go in that pothole, that acts differently than asphalt, that's stronger than asphalt, that it withstands the weather and the pressure of trucks and cars. And that was 5 years ago. You put this product into those potholes, and this product today is still working. Those potholes are still full, and that has solved your pothole problem at your commercial real estate locations. Is that correct?
That's right. And then consequently, you know, I bought more real estate. So, you know, by solving, you know, but of course, solving was the one problem, right, of the potholes. But since that time, I became someone who says, all right, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to put some brains behind the real estate. You know, normally as a scientist, you charge someone for selling your science services, right? When you tutor someone, you charge them, you know, from the tutoring side. I had to. So what I learned is that real estate is not a passive investment.
Not if you're managing yourself. Not the way you do it, my friend. Not the way you do it, for sure.
I had to the brain power is not free, right? Normally, but I couldn't charge myself for the brain power. I had to use the brain power in there, and I did this. And had I invented that before, I would have just used my product, but I didn't have that. So I was in there with the guys paving, laying down that combination, which I don't, you know, it was just a random pick, right, of how much I should use in there. And then it held up for 5 years. So now what happens is your cost savings is 5 years long. It could be 6 years. It's just that I don't have 6 years to show. I got to wait until 2024 to see the sixth year. Uh-huh. But the point about it is, back to the corner, you've got to look at information like that. All that stuff on potholes I showed you, that's how what happened to me after looking at this and saying, this is like bad stuff. This is asphalt. And then, you know what I do with my real estate is I tell the people doing the snow removal not to use regular rock salt.
Right.
I'll pay those. They say, but that will cost more. It does. Mm-hmm. Not good for your NOI when it costs more, right? But at the same time, it actually costs less because it breaks down the concrete and breaks down the other material less, right? And so everything has a short, medium, long-term cost. You got to look at those collision levels and say, wait a minute, am I thinking right? Am I thinking right?
Well, that's the thing. And in the first few years I owned real estate, we hired this contractor who was really affordable. He could paint, he could do plumbing, he could do heating work, he could do all types of just general carpentry work. So he could do it all. Here's the problem. None of it was really done right. His plumbing, when we brought in a real plumber, he'd say, this plumbing really isn't done right. The electrical work, we bring in a real electrician, he said, this really isn't done right. And things would break again and again, and he'd be going back to, and our buildings would just be suffering, and our NOI would just be depleted. And that happened for about 3 years. And we thought this gentleman was saving us money. But after we actually started working with the right professionals, paying a licensed plumber to fix it, paying a licensed electrician, paying a guy that does kitchen cabinets, do the kitchen. Now that's going to cost us a little more off the bat, but in the long run, it saved us. I can't even tell you how much it saved us because our NOI has just increased exponentially. So it's really about fixing things right the first time, hiring the right people to do it. Will it cost you a little more up front? Yes, it will. There's always a cheaper option. There's always a Joe Schmo who can fix your things the wrong way, put a little duct tape on and it works. There's always that guy. I use them for years. We don't use them anymore at all.
Can I ask you something very simple? Is when you have an emergency, right? You go through these phone books or you go through your dial list and it, you know, usually it says 24/7, right? Some of the plumbing, they say that, right? 24/7. So try calling them at 3 at night before you have a problem, right? See if they are there, right?
Yeah. Well, we don't.
It's not really 24/7. You don't have like a bat line. It's just an advertising thing that they do.
Sure. Right? Well, we're not using like Roto Plumber. We have like, you know, smaller companies we work
with. So as your asset, you know, gets larger, and if you have more assets, right, the problems, you know, that 95% failure rate, is like drawing cards. You know, now you have another chance of failing at 95, another chance. And so management that you just described is really, really important, is that you've got to look into the management versus sending it to a management company. And then is that right? And management companies, when you're judging this, it's like obstetrics. Mm-hmm. The first time you have your child and you say, well, I'm going to do everything I did the first time I had my child because I already know what it was like. And then you have your second child and it wasn't the same. Mm-hmm. They come out a little earlier, faster. It might be a boy versus a girl, right? All kinds of things are different, right? You are also older than you were when you had your first child, right? Usually that's how, I don't think it's possible to be younger than you were when you had your first child, right? So when you start thinking about those conditions, every time you buy new property, conditions change. I know a guy who bought a restaurant in one town and he was like the talk of the town. Mm-hmm. He moves over by about five towns over. Mm-hmm. And he loses money in that other town. They don't like him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. But I thought they love you in this other town, right? Yeah. And he spent 15 years to like build up his rapport, goes five towns over. Mm-hmm. They want to drive him out of the town.
No, I hear you. Now, just to our listeners here, I see more people jumping on as we go along. We are reaching the end of our hour here. And Dr. Gordon, unfortunately, I have a call to jump off to at noon here as well myself. And I want to be respectful of your time also. So if anyone has questions, put them in the Q&A or the chat. I think the Q&A is the best spot. So please type those questions in the Q&A as we go along here. I think we got a little off topic on a lot of different things here. What I want to reiterate is it sounds like, Dr. Gordon, you ran into a major problem with your potholes, right? You own a bunch of strip malls with apartments above them sometimes, right?
No, it was a grocery store.
You got your anchor store. You have stores around it, right? And so you got like a shop or something like that. You know, they're coming in. They're bringing these big trucks in, these 18-wheelers. Is that right?
Yeah. And no, I didn't have any residential people living above, mm-hmm. right? So I made it, like, I don't have any offices. It's just simple, plain Jane, you know, grocery anchored real estate plaza.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that the grocery trucks that come in, they do bang on, like, you know, can you not bang on my asphalt? Can you like put that sign there? Right. People have to do that. Right.
That's how it works. But so you created a product, a graphene based product. You also have patents for this, which could be a huge income stream, which is a whole nother presentation we got to talk about. But so you created your own product as a scientist at Rutgers University. Is that right?
Well, Rutgers, I had 16 university relationships. I've had, about 41 patents to my name that have been granted, right? So you look at this type of thing and you say, did you do anything with asphalt? And the answer was no. Mm-hmm. Until I got into real estate, until I got in the bind, I got those potholes, that's when I invented. So that stuff was not invented at Rutgers. That stuff was invented at the property, basically being forced as an owner.
You know, understood. Okay. So you invented this on your own will because you had a problem. But this sounds, quite frankly, terrible. Like, this sounds like a horror story. Like, if you weren't a scientist able to create your own product for this problem, you would be losing money on this property.
I would have been wiped out. No. I would have been wiped out.
Yes. So how do people make millions of dollars in real estate? Because we know people make money in real estate. They make billions. 60% of billionaires' wealth is held in real estate. So you had a
five out of 100 will succeed. So we know that statistic.
So how do you succeed in real estate, Dr. Gordon?
How I would do it is I would, if I were not a scientist, and I just say, I would call Aaron, right? Here's the plug for you, right? I would just call Aaron and have him just handle it for you because you don't know your left foot from your right hand, right? Just give it to somebody who you look at their success track record and you just go to them. Hopefully, you know, you've done your due diligence and they are truly, truly who they are. And you do all that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Then you just go and say, all right, who am I, mm-hmm. right? Versus that. And you know, remember, I had to self-manage. I had to do those things in order to understand why the prior seller was losing money. The prior seller would not have sold it to me if he was making a lot of money, right?
Right.
He or she, right? So there's no free lunch.
Yeah.
And so Aaron's not free. He actually has a cost to him, right? But I'm just saying that you need to have the protection. So I hope thank you for having me on the show, you know, and listening to my horror story. You don't want that horror story for you though. You know, that's
no, of course
avoid that at all costs. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like, hey, I you know, owning those big, large parking lots, you know, we don't have our parking lots are pretty more modestly sized. I'd say we do.
Have you don't have 300 parking spaces in your parking lots?
No, I think the most we have is like 35 on one. So it's pretty reasonable. But the snow removal cost is through the roof. So parking lots are definitely more expensive than people think. You know, they take a lot of maintenance, as you have explained here. The snow removal is a pain in the neck. You know,
can I ask you how many potholes it takes for you to, you know, for your tenants to be upset or for a customer to be upset?
I'd have to check my property manager on the
potholes. No, this is just a general question. Is how many potholes would you be upset at if you fell into one of them? How many?
I would be upset on the first big pothole I fell into. Okay. But I must say, on residential properties, you really don't get as much potholes. You don't have those big 18-wheelers coming in. They're, you know,
No, 18-wheelers make a difference, right? Most people say, there's no difference between an 18-wheeler and a four-door sedan, right? Yeah. Or a motorcycle.
Well, you also get a lot more traffic, I think, at, an anchor store. I mean, an apartment complex, people leave in the morning to go to work. They come home at night. You know, a shopping center, people are coming in and out all day. So you really have a lot more traffic. You got bigger trucks.
That's not on the sell sheet, though. They don't say, like, by the way, we have bigger trucks, more traffic. Don't buy us, right? It doesn't say that, right?
You got to know what you're getting into, right? Yeah. Even more reason to invest with professionals when you're getting into any type of real estate, whether it's strip malls or apartment buildings or investing locally or out of state. Invest first with professionals, learn what they're doing, make a nice return on your investment. And then over time, if you want to take the plunge yourself, take the plunge, sign the dotted line for the mortgage, have the experience Dr. Gordon Chu's having, learn about potholes, right? There's nothing wrong with that. We all want experiences in life, but there is a right and a wrong way to get started investing in real estate.
Some experiences are so bad that they can kill you.
They can. Yeah. Well, sure. Yeah. That's a whole other
wipe you out, right?
Yeah, sure.
Imagine if we wanted to experience cocaine and see, you know, what would happen, right? You know,
well, cocaine's a hell of a drug, Dr. Gordon Chu.
Right, exactly. So you can't just like randomly, let's experience, I'm married. So what if I wanted to experience infidelity, right? And see what happens with, a little cheating and see what happens with my relationship. You test some of those things and it could be the end of everything. You could lose half of everything you have.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. Okay. Right. Well, that's definitely an accurate statement. So no, what I'm saying is, you know, people come to me all the time. I talk to investors all day long. Hey, I want to get into real estate. There's an ugly house down the street I'm thinking about buying. They're asking too much. My buddy's thinking we should invest in Florida because we like going to Florida and we saw on the headlines that Florida is a good place to invest. What do you think we should do? And I say, listen, you just named a bunch of different strategies. It sounds like you don't really know what your strategy is going to be or how to implement it. It sounds like you should invest first with professionals, learn what they're doing, and then take that knowledge and move forward.
And here's the final plug for you, Aaron. Here's really, really important is 50% of people end up getting divorced, right? Now, but you know, the remaining 50% that stay together, over 80% would select the same person to marry again. So there is, you know, of the five of the five that succeed, right? Mm-hmm. Like Aaron was saying, they end up making a lot of money. They end up doing well. Once I solve the problem of applying science to the problems that you run into, not just potholes, but a scientific mindset and look at those things and not separate, right? Yeah. I started being able to solve the problems and cost control and being able to understand your tenants, right? What are their pain points? And really being, it's not good enough to go from good to great. It must be, you must start thinking about doing greater good. No, don't just go to great, do greater good. And greater good is being the opposite of a slumlord and being a proactive landlord.
Right. Yeah. I hear that. All right, Dr. Gordon Chu, I do have to jump off to another call here. How can people get in touch with you and what do you offer? Is there?
No, I don't offer anything except coming on these interviews. You should do is reach out to Aaron. My LinkedIn, of course, is out there. You can just my name, Dr. Gordon Chu. And if you need something, from a scientist, sure, certainly reach out. But if you need something, someone to manage your properties, right, and manage your investments, Aaron Fragnito is the person you should be reaching out to.
Thanks, Dr. Grunscher. I appreciate that. You're always been a great support.
That's
there.
Why he re-invites me.
That's why I re-invite that. That's why I pay the big bucks. I'm going to fill those potholes. No, I'll be over there in your parking lot with a shovel. You know, saying thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
No, very awesome, man. I love this interview here. I do have to run. And really learned a lot. We always talk so much. I feel like we could talk for hours. But I enjoy your story. I love how you solve the problem with your own ingenuity and your own inventions. Just a beautiful story. And it goes to show how difficult real estate is and it can be. So hopefully we didn't scare people out of it. So if you are a landlord and you're having similar problems, let's set up a call. If you're heading into issues with being a landlord, let's talk about it. There's different ways you can invest passively or just I've done 300 real estate transactions, I don't know, a $25 million portfolio. So maybe I can give you some advice as well on being a landlord. If you haven't taken the plunge, you're not yet a landlord, hopefully Dr. Gorenchu didn't scare you completely out of ever owning real estate. And if you do want to learn about the passive side of teaming up with investors, putting your capital to work and making sure your assets are being run properly and you're getting the returns targeted because you're investing with professionals like People's Capital Group, let's set up a call. Let's talk about what we do here, how we help people invest. We are fully funded right now, but we're coming up with new opportunities on the horizon. So we can chat about those a little bit, see if it's a fit for your investment goals. But that's what we do here at People's Capital Group. I do have to jump off now and contact. I have a call here. I'm a little late for, so let me run off to that. But Dr. Gorenchu, such a pleasure, my friend. So nice to see you again.
Absolutely. I'm glad that we got a chance to connect and share a little bit about this horror story. Aaron had interviewed me before, and the last time it was about like COVID, right? And how that can wipe you out. Now I share about this stuff, you know, your damages. So this was really good. And I'm hoping that this could let my story be the reason why you call Aaron.
Awesome. Right. Awesome.
Bye-bye
awesome,
now.
Dr. Grimm. Have a good night. Have a good day. Bye. See you.
Yeah. Bye.